All right. Let's pray. Go ahead, sweetheart. Go ahead. I caught you right in the act. Father Yahweh, we glorify you. We thank you. We just bless your name on today. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding. And we thank you in advance for it. And we just bless you for all the things that you do in our lives. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We're still kind of extended from, from faith and just kind of moving through the channels of it. Just to make sure that we're walking into some understanding. And I just want to share some things with you that, you know, I hadn't shared with everyone as a whole. Past few days, I guess, I've been dealing with a whole lot of stuff, but specifically our city of Dallas, Economic Development Office, they had, you know, as I had mentioned to y'all, that they sent us a map. And I'm going to try to pull that map up, you know. A lot of time I don't know where I'm going, and so when stuff start happening, y'all just have to kind of bear with me. But they had sent a map, and the map just talked about some things in reference to the program that they had mentioned. And there are some things that I'm going to make even more clearer. Probably Savage Service. It just I got some homework I need to do, and make sure that it's all put together. If y'all still want to go in that direction by then, just say do. So that's what we'll get ready to do. But they had contacted me about a empowerment zone for the community of Pleasant Grove, mainly 75217, and I'll show you this. I'll show you this information more detail this coming Sabbath service. Well, the zone shows from the golf course all the way up Buckner, almost to Bruton Road. And, Uncle, did you get a chance to drive down through there?
I did. I guess I didn't know what it looked like before. So
yeah, it's a big change. it was looking pitiful. but, you know, there are some. But there's a lot of little storefronts and things like that that was not there.
Okay.
It was like single buildings, you know, tire shops and all this kind of stuff. But man, I wish I had some of those old photos to kind of show what it looked like back then and then now. But you know, they're developing all through that area, you know, again from their golf course all the way up to almost Bruton Road, and from what I'm understanding, they're going to eventually extend beyond that. But there are some things that that they're giving, or at least try to give me the impression that they included us in, but I'll just say our building was included. But the plan was to have us out of the way by now, in order to accomplish that plan. But you know, they ran into that baby bulldog with a big bone kind of deal that had grown up to become a big bulldog down that bone. And could deal with them in some areas by the hand of Yah. And so, you know, over these years, you know, it's been a long time. When you look back on it, it don't seem like it's that long, but I mean, it has been. It's, you know, it's 12 years ago when all this started, and it's been one thing after another for the entire 12 years. And Yah has a wonderful way of how he do things. And I'm going to be all over the place for a minute because he's just showing me stuff and I'm just going down the road as he leads. But he's showing me some wonderful things, and I understand some of the things that I said now, that I said now back then, even when we were in certain stages of our project, I understand it now. And when I would say these things, I was very careful not to say, okay, this is exactly what that means. And I'll give you one example, and then I'll get back to where I hopefully am now. One of the things that I said when we first started doing the renovations of our project, I was like, okay, I said, we can't stop. I said, because if we stop, we won't finish. Remember what I said? I said, we won't finish. And so when I said that, you know how we can do, we can think that, okay, we're not going to ever finish it. You know, because, you know, we're all human and stuff like that. And so when y'all first said, I was like, oh, crap, man, we got to get this finished, you know, before such and such, you know, time frame. Because if New Year come in, we're not going to get it finished. Well, y'all was just giving us an understanding that there are some things that's going to take place. We seeing it now. And so it's a lot of things that I understand from that perspective, because when he initially said that, and I told you guys, and then later on he came back and he was like, just keep moving. And so I was like, okay, he's saying keep moving, so we're not finished when that time frame come. He's saying something different, so I'm not gonna figure out what that is. You know, if he want me to know, he'll tell me. So let me get away from my calm mind and say, we're not going to finish as in y'all said, we got to finish it. I can't remember what year it was. We've been doing this for a minute. What was it, 2019, 18? I can't remember. I was like, okay, we got to finish by 2019. I think that's what I said. 18 or 19, just that we've been at it a minute. And so when we got to that time frame, I was like, okay, we didn't make it, you know. And y'all was like, keep moving. So I was like, okay, you know, we had the meeting, you know, I think me and you, Allie, had the meeting. And I told you guys, I said, well, he said, just keep moving. We just keep moving until there's nothing there. All we can do is just keep moving and do what we can in order to generate the resources to keep moving. Well, you know, things start happening, and one thing led into another. We entered into now another phase of this where he's still saying, keep moving. We like, okay, y'all. It's like we keep it moving, but we don't see it, but we gotta still keep moving. And Yah's been faithful. You know, he's been faithful. You know, it's been some time about a skin, however they put it, you know. But I mean, we still punching at it, you know, by the grace of y'all, we're gonna keep punching at it. And so what he was doing was teaching by faith. Okay. I'm pushing you forward. I'm saying, you know, if you don't finish it now, you're not going to finish it. Well, I understand now. There are some things that was happening where y'all was like, you got to wonder. And if you don't get things done within this time frame, then some stuff going to hit. And when it hit, it's going to be some difficult times as far as the project is concerned. Not that he can't do it, but it's just that window was an opportunity from a twofold perspective. It would prevent some things from taking place, and then at the same time, there are some things that would have taken place that I'm glad that we didn't get it open. When I look at the totality of it, because we'd had a staff, probably between 20 and 30 people, everybody would have been there working, and then all of a sudden everything was shut down. We've been a hot mess. Daycare open, all these different things. Now we got people that, you know, that can't come to work, and so we would have had, you know, all these families that are struggling based upon, you know, depending on income from everything we put together. So I thank y'all for that. I thank y'all for that. And then I was asking him other questions, and I was like, okay, yeah, I said we could have concentrated some things. You know, you was leading to do some other things. We could have concentrated funds on first floor, had that completely done. You was like on the second floor. He said, I don't want you just to do the first floor. I want you to do the first and second floor. You're going to do the basement still. Okay. So all these things that, you know, that has been, you know, been going on all this time, it's been taking us from facets of faith. One faith after another. Remember when we first started putting, you know, hammers to the nail, so to speak? We didn't have nothing. But once we start doing it, y'all provide it. And it's like, okay, I'm going to take you to the next phase of faith now. You got to continue to walk. You got to trust me and believe me to bring everything to pass. Well, again, I've learned some things from just watching him do the things that he's done as far as the project is concerned. I've just seen him do some things and learn and understand some things, different facets and perspectives of faith and things like that. And so that's where he right now he's testing all of us in different facets of faith. And so, you know, when he told me, he was like, okay, you know, be the example. You know, that's when I approach you guys and say, okay, y'all told me to be the example as far as faith was concerned. Well, now I got to encourage you. When I was saying that, I wasn't saying sit back and watch me. I was saying follow me as I follow Christ. So the examples that I'm doing, then everybody said, okay, I see this faith walking. I'm going to walk it too. So me showing you the example, every time y'all show me something, then I start walking in that pattern. So every time I show you something as far as faith is concerned, I want you to be encouraged enough to walk in that pattern and say, okay, you know, I see what, you know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, I believe. And we're in there, I think. Maybe 4 or 3. Let me see. Be ye followers of me. Let me just look it up. Let me put up another Bible. Sometimes my mind get cloudy because I be preaching all day pretty much. Ignore. I know you're going to take me all over the place. There's a second. Why is this not pulling up? Yep. 4. I was close. I kept seeing 3. So, okay. Is this the one? Let me pull it up. That's not the one I want. Oh, 1 Corinthians 11. I don't know why I kept seeing 3. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Thank you for your patience. It says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so Paul was like, okay, in a nutshell, you know, follow my example. So when you look at followers, it says an imitator. So when I was saying, okay, y'all told me to show you how to walk by faith, I was doing so that you could imitate it, not watch me. And so being a follower is an imitator of that. And it comes from, it says from 34:1, it says the mimic. Mimic. So when I was showing it, it was the The church should have the mentality, okay, let me mimic what he's doing. Let me walk the same walk that he's walking. Don't sit back and say, let me see you do it then. No, that's not followers. That's spectators. We don't want spectators, we want followers. So Paul says, again, be ye followers of me, or mimic me as I mimic Christ. That's what he's saying in a nutshell. I'm mimicking Christ, so mimic me. And so you get a lot of people that say, well, I don't know why y'all don't deal with me. Okay, just follow your leadership. Mimic your leadership until you get to the point where perception and discernment can, in other words, we can grow from the baby stage to the mature stage. So watch me until maturity get there. Then once maturity get there, then now you in the position now where you can completely walk this walk on your own. Yes.
Is copy and mimic the same or different?
Let's look at the definition because
you can say somebody's mimicking you. So
you know, because I would say it's the difference, and the reason why I say that is okay. Okay, you want me to show you? Wait a minute. I got to deal with my baby right quick. She want to know what mimic is, so I got to stop right there. Okay, do like this and that. Wave at me. You're mimicking me. You're doing everything that I'm doing. That's what I'm saying. We're going to see if there's a difference. I think there is a slight difference, but I want to see. It says a thing made to be similar or identical to another. It could be, it says duplicate. I mean, imitate the style of behavior, lifestyle, similar, it says mimic. So it does, okay? It is the same. And it's just that when I was seeing the word copied, I was seeing something else.
Mimic seems to be in behavior, right? It's not.
That's the difference.
You wouldn't say, I have a mimic of your piece of paper.
Right.
Mimic tends to be like a person doing something that somebody else. A copy, if I make a copy of a vase, it's a copy.
It looks like it.
Yeah. Mimic tends to be a behavior,
right,
of you doing something that somebody else.
But what if somebody is copying your behavior?
I'm not saying you can't copy, but I'm saying mimic doesn't typically have all of the same applications that copy does.
Mm-hmm. So I'll put it like this, and that's why I kept saying, the F feeling, there's a difference. When there's a copy, let's look at the definition. Did I get out of it? Yes, I did. My old self. Okay, let's deal with that again. And I'll tell you. Okay. You look at copy as another point out of thing to be similar or identical to another. It says mimic, but here's what I'm saying.
But if you look at that, that's the noun version.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Or you can use it verb-wise.
Down on the verb portion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be what somebody is doing. Like, I wouldn't say, like, I can mimic somebody and create a copy, but mimic is like the behavior of doing what somebody else is doing.
So,
copy is just a...
So
it can be the noun or the verb.
Right. So here's an example of it. You can from the noun perspective, Denise, you can copy me. Okay? Wait a minute. Just hold your thought. We're talking kingdom now. That's why when I heard it, it was like it brought witness with my spirit, and what the elders talking about is what I'm meaning. When you copy, you do the same thing as I do from the noun perspective, a thing made to be similar or identical to another. You can copy me, but can you get the same results that I get from copying me? I'm talking kingdom now. Because go ahead.
If you look at the definition there, noun is talking about a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
the verb is talking. Okay, so a copy of something is the end result of.
Well, copying can be a noun or.
Well, but if you're trying to distinguish it between mimic doesn't have.
I've got a solution for what you're trying to say.
Okay, so let me finish mine. So, I'm talking kingdom now. So when you copy me, you can do everything that I do. Like as my baby here, I said, "Take your hand up, do this," and here. But when you mimic something, you're getting the same results. In other words, if a person looked at what I was doing. And getting results from you mimicking, you would be getting the same results. Other than that, it's a copy, because people talk about faith all the time, but it's like what my pastor said. He said, well, most people call faith is not faith at all. It's high expectation. It is a copy. It looks like faith. But he said, but it's off of wrong information. In other words, they're not getting results because they're copying what a person is doing instead of actually mimicking or getting that same results based upon what that individual is doing. So if I'm doing something then you should do it and get the same result. If it's not, you just copy. But go ahead.
So the example I was going to use would be the equivalent of, let's say you're doing a math test and you don't know the answer, so you look at me and you copy. You gonna have the right answers, but you ain't gonna know how you got that answer. Like because you look at my paper and it say problem number 2, the answer is 11. So you write down 11. It's a copy of what I did, but you can't then take that and apply it anywhere else.
That's what I was saying. You can copy the 11 down. But you copying that 11 not going to get you to college.
Right.
I'm going because I know what I wrote. And I know what it meant. And I know the formula to get there. And so the copy was done. Like Ella said, you wrote down 11. But when it comes time for the results that's necessary to get us to the next level, which is college, that copying is not going to get the results that a person who is mimicking the formula that's been given to get to 11. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I guess I'm kind of looking at it. Maybe it's my dyslexic way of thinking of it in a different way. That I'm just still like, to me it's like more putting action, because see, when you do stuff, you're putting it into action. So to me, verb is action. You're doing something to get that result.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still thinking it is still, I'm copying, but I'm copying you. So if I'm copying you, and I'm seeing your actions that you're doing, and I'm copying all your actions.
I think it's more of knowing the whys and not just copying the action, right? So even in that scenario, if for example, I think we've used this example before. So we're with the kids and they're cooking a roast and they cut the butt end off, because mm-hmm. they always saw mama cut the butt end off,
mm-hmm.
and they just mimicking the behavior, but they have no clue of why she did it. And after all those years, they asked her why she did it, and she said, well, my pan was too short to hold the whole thing, so mm-hmm. I cut the end off so it would fit. So they copied the actions, but they didn't have no reason, no understanding of why those things were done. And so as a result, they wasted all of this stuff because they didn't understand the whys. Mm-hmm. So even when you when it comes to mimicking, I can be a monkey and you scratch your head, I scratch my head. Mm-hmm. But it's certain things when I understand the context of why you're doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. that I'll get results that I won't get just from purely copying.
Mm-hmm. And so as you said from the perspective of the monkey, I see your mom go. As you said from the perspective of the monkey can scratch his head, but he's not itching. So he's just scratching because he's seeing you scratch. He's copying, but he's not doing it to bring about a specific result. And so that's the difference. So if you just copying, doing everything I'm doing, but as Elder pointed out, there is no everything, every reason, or the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is to bring about a certain result. And so to be a follower of Paul, as Paul used the example, to be a follower of Paul is all of us, or those people who were following Paul, were mimicking him to get the same results that he was getting. It wasn't just, as Elder said, it wasn't just a monkey scratching his head.
So basically they had to have the same heart as him.
Because he had the same heart as Christ.
But see, that's what I was
saying. So he said, mimic me.
But see, if the person does, just per se, if the person is copying you, but it is for the right reasons, spiritually and stuff, it is for the right reasons. So what's wrong with them copying you still that way, though, instead of mimicking?
It's just a matter of choice of words from your perspective.
Okay,
because you can call it copy, but the bottom line is
that's my dyslexic way of thinking. So okay. To me it'd just be easier to say,
the point is what we're trying to get you to understand, or what we're getting you to understand is to copy is not the same as what Paul is saying here. It's not the same. He's not saying just copy me, because he's bringing the church into an understanding of how they need to be as far as their walk in life as far as Paul was concerned. So you mentioned that it was an action word. So when you look at faith is an action word. But at the same time, you get a lot of people that ask for things or do things in faith, action, but they do it for the wrong reason because they don't understand.
And she also mentioned it was a heart issue too, which also applies.
Right.
I could be copying you, my heart ain't in it at all, and I won't get the same result.
Right. We can be at the building picking up paper, and I can be saying, "Y'all, just thank you for picking up paper." You can be like, "Oh Lord." You picking it up, you copying me, but you're not getting the same reward. So it is a hard issue. I know, Mama, because I hope you didn't lose your thought, because we took you a long way.
Now, bring that down to the first definition, to the one. It's on two, yeah.
Here?
Yeah, so you can see one. When you think of copy, in that instance, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You make a copy of a document, you make a copy of, but that's the noun version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the verb version of it, that second part,
mm-hmm. right here,
imitate the style or behavior of, I think that's the difference in the verb and the noun part. So when you mimic somebody, you're imitating the style, you're imitating their behavior, just the same thing like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the net results of that mimic is a different matter. That takes it a step further, mm-hmm. what you were saying. But mimic in the verb version, I mean, copying the verb version is just saying, I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to do it the way you do it,
mm-hmm.
in the style that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see me, just say, for instance, what you got on now. If I want to mimic you, I'm going to try to find something look exactly like what you got on. So when you see me, you'll be looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
That's imitating your style.
Now even just to use my Raven Autumn here, she was mimicking me. She wasn't copying. And the reason why I'm saying she was mimicking, because although she was doing everything I was doing, she had a joy in doing it the same way I had a joy. So her behavior was the same as mine. We were on the same page as far as our behavior was concerned. She could have been doing like him, like, Lord, I would have felt a little. You know, fry out and say, okay, I'm doing it. Now she copying me because her behavior is not the same. She's doing the same thing, but her behavior is different, as Mama Cook pointed out in the two. It's not intimate. It's not imitate the style or behavior of. And that's when it becomes different. Again, I use it as far as the, you know, trash out on the property. We can all be out there picking up trash, and some of us could be doing it from a heart issue and saying, you know, we want the property to look nice. And another person be out there doing it and saying, man, I just get this over with, man. I'm tired, it's hot, I don't want to be here, and different things like that. So that's the difference. And so that's the part we want you to understand. So if you call it copy or mimic, whichever choice you choose, it's fine. But what's your behavior in the choice that you choose? If you copy me, are you copying from a perspective of having the same behavior as I do? Or are you just copying? If you're mimicking, are you doing it from the same behavior that I have, or are you just mimicking? So we just take both words and put them together, and then say the difference is the behavior of the individual that separates it from something that is positive in comparison to something that's negative. We got it? Okay, I like that. I like that, you know, and so, you know, again, back to that. I mean, I'm glad we discussed it like that because now that break, go ahead. You have something?
I just want to say it's like the mindset that's associated with the behavior has to be the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be, like you say, you can be doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
With two different mindsets.
Yeah.
And so it's like what the scriptures say, man look on the outward appearance. So right. When man looking at it, he see, hey, they doing the exact same thing.
Right.
But God look on the heart.
Right.
Your heart ain't right behind it.
Right. Perfect example. Go ahead. You defend.
Your heart is, right. Go ahead.
Perfect example. Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel because he was unhappy because Yah didn't accept his offering. Why? Both of them gave an offering. Let's look at it. And I'm glad you took us that way. So don't ever apologize for taking us in the direction that Yah wants us to go, because it brings us into a full understanding of what we're discussing. Is it three? Nope. Four. Okay. See where we start. Verse 1, Genesis 4, verse 1 said, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yah. And she again bare his son, his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And Yah had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6 says, And Yah said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou do well, shall thou not be accepted? So you have both of them bringing offering of what their profession was, but yet Yah looked at Abel's and was like, yeah, I accept yours. And he looked at Cain and was like, no, I'm not accepting yours. Why? Because Cain just went out there and said,
here, take these old
let me get these old dried vegetables and stuff in here. But Abel, what the scripture said, he took his. And not only did he take it, but he gave him the best. It says, a fat thereof. Verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstling. Notice what it said, Cain. Cain didn't bring no firstling. Abel brought the first thing that came up, but the best of the first thing that came up. So his action, his purpose, and his mindset was different. It was different. And so, again, it said, Abel he also brought a Cain. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. As the elder said, he probably found some old potatoes and and you know, oh, this and that and such. Damn, let me give you, I ain't finna give him the best of my stuff. I'm eating that myself. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's like the kind, like in the food industry, the kind they use to make ketchup and stuff.
Yeah.
Damn, the best of out there.
Exactly.
The B grade one.
Exactly. All the one that's right. Okay, you want some bologna? Yeah, bologna, we gonna fix it. We gonna give you everything that don't nobody want and give you that, make that bologna, you know. And so again, he just brought the fruit off the ground. Abel, it say he also brought up the firstling. When you look at the first, that was the first thing that came up. And he said, firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. So he took the first of his sheep, the first one that was, so to speak, born. But he took the best one out of the first ones that was born and brought it to Yah. And that's why Yah had respect. Both of them was doing something. Giving an offering. But one of them had a different mindset than the other one. That's the difference. Yeah.
I always thought it was because
one gave animal, one gave
the blood of the animal as opposed to the fruit, which didn't have no
blood.
You thought if Cain had brought some animals, he would have been all right?
Yeah, if he had gone to Abel and said, hey, Lord, he was successful, so can I have some of yours? That would have
worked. No, he had all them groceries.
Nah, it wasn't because he gave them vegetables and one gave them meat. Okay. Take these two crooked carrots. It is wrinkled up. Here you go, guys. But it's almost like even when you look later on what we did as a people, when we were supposed to be bringing sacrifices, we were giving them the lame animals and stuff like that, and we were supposed to be giving him the best of the best.
Okay, so this is a question kind of maybe off the path of that. Okay. So where in the Bible did God tell them to bring animals and the blood from the animals and all of that part?
So,
did they just do that because...
So I've asked that question before. It don't state why they do it here. Later on, he tells them when he talks about the children of Israel that that's what they're supposed to do. But if you notice in Scripture, they were doing that prior to him saying that.
That they were his people.
Yeah. Before he established that we're supposed to do that as his people, the people that had reverence for him were already doing that. Mm-hmm.
And it'd be something that when Christ set up his kingdom here on earth, we'll do in the future. We'll always sacrifice like that. Even when Christ is here on earth, we're going to still be sacrificed. Matter of fact, that's when mankind all over the world going to have to bring in their worship and sacrifice into the city. So that's something, as I was pointing out, that's something that is always done. Even when you go look at Genesis, when they sinned, the first thing he did was made an animal.
Is it inspired by God for them to do that, or they just decided, let's just do this?
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah, so when you look at the signs of it, or from the sake of the lesson, they mimic Yah.
Well, that's true.
He made, once Adam and Eve sinned, he made them clothing of animal skin. So he had to kill an animal. And so when you look at that, that is not saying that that's the case, but that'll give you kind of some understanding of why they start doing those things in the first period. Because when you look at Abraham, all of them, they always sacrificed. And Job, one of the older books in the Bible, he did the same thing.
So I'm saying, you see, like, they did it.
Yeah.
But you don't ever see any express way where God say, do this.
Right.
Until... we get established as people. But clearly you see the men of God doing it, but you never see him say it prior to us as a people.
And it was like foreshadowing for what would happen to
us. And even when you look at it, the other pointed out in the scriptures here concerning Malachi 1, it says the burden of the word of Yah to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, said Yah. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? He said, "Was not Esau Jacob's brother?" Said Yah, "Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau." Well, when you understand the scripture, you know why. Esau disrespected his birthright, heart issue. And he sold it for some red potters. Thus, his name is Edom. His family is Edom. And so he was doing the opposite of everything Yah was saying to do, even what his father was telling him to do. He go do the opposite. He told him, "Don't marry this Canaan people." He went right on there and married Esau then. Yeah, so did. And so you look at that, that's why Yah saying he hated him. It was the things that he did. And so you can look at Cain from the same perspective. Yah hated his mindset and his action, thus he judged them the same way. And so he says, "And I laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." And then as you skip down here, he starts to deal with the priest. He said, son honors his father, verse 6. And a servant his master. He said, "If I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, my reverence?" Said Yah of hosts, "Unto you, O priest, that despise my name." So Malachi 1, Malachi 2, and Malachi 3, when the preacher get over here talking about you curse with a curse, that's Yah talking to him, the priest. So when they try to use that and tell the people that they're cursed, Yah's talking to the priest and you curse with a curse because you're leading the people astray. And so in reference to what Elder is saying, it points it out. Here he says, verse 7, he said, "Ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar."
Supposed
to
be giving the best of the best.
The best.
You're giving me this old moldy bread.
Yep. And he said, "Wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye said, the table of the Lord is contemptible." He said, "If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil?" He said, "Offer it to your governor." See what he gonna do. Put some rotten vegetables on the table in front of somebody important and see what's gonna happen. So he's telling our nation, and he's talking specifically to the priest. He said, "You letting them come up here and give that stuff, and you just taking it." Because the priest, you go look at other scriptures, the priest was taking the best stuff, just like Cain, put it on there in the corner, eating it themselves, and giving Yada all the stuff that he told our nation not to do. And so it's the same mindset. So when you go from chapter 1 of Malachi, chapter 2 of Malachi, and when you get to Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10, when they say, "You robbed God," this is what he's talking about. "You robbed me," because he said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." He's talking to the priest saying, "You robbed me and the nation by allowing them to walk in this sin." That's what Malachi 3 is about.
I mean, you see from the very beginning, God wasn't pleased.
Right.
Don't give me these little.
But they shifted that off on the sheep.
On the sheep.
Just
saying, so they doing the same thing.
Yeah. That's why the scripture talks about wolves in sheep clothing. And that's why Jeremiah 23 said, "Woe unto the pastors who lead my people astray." That's what all this stuff is about. So instead of taking the people's best and then making sure that they be responsible and do what Yah is leading them to do, even if it's from a perspective, although it was never meant to be money, but when they bring money, we're supposed to be responsible and do what Yah is pleased with and doing with those funds. Instead of buying Rolls Royces and mansions and all this kind of stuff, Yah's like, "Okay, old priest, you know, I'm cursing you, and then you causing these people to go astray and be cursed because you're leading them wrong." That's what this whole thing about. But as you said, preachers don't talk about that part. They be like, "Yah, I'm cursed. You didn't bring all that money up in here, you're cursed. You're supposed to tithe or you pay your bills and be in the dark and all that." Nah, that ain't what they're saying. And so it's important for that to be understood. Yes.
My first pastor, when I first got saved when I was 14, he used to tell us, "Don't bring y'all broke down stuff to this church." Mm. You know, you get a new, dish drain and all that stuff. You get a new one, and you bring yours that's raggedy and got mold on it. Don't bring that out of the church. Need one. They don't even have one. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't bring your broke down stuff to this church." Mm-hmm. Whatever it is,
yep.
If it ain't
the best and good enough, don't bring that out here. And that
being
still that, man, I still feel the same way.
You know, we'll do it again, but we had a food pantry. And one of the things I used to always say is, okay, we need canned goods and things like that for the food pantry. I said, do not bring what you don't eat. Don't come bring something that just said corn. But then you got Del Monte over. You got Del Monte over in your cabin. But then what is this corn? You know? And so I used to tell them all the time, no, bring what you eat. Don't bring no clothes up here to clothe these homeless, and you won't wear them. Okay, let me clean out my old clothes here. I don't want them, don't like them, so let me go take them up to the church. No, bring something that you will wear. You may just think out. You know, too big, too small for it. But if you said, I would wear this under normal circumstance, bring it up here. Don't bring us nothing sloppy. I used to tell the church that all the time. You know, I want to eat, and everybody else want to eat what you eat. You eating damn money beans? I want some damn money beans. Now, if you come up there and say, Pastor, I just eat the warmer corn. Okay, babe, we can work this out. We can work this out. You bring in your best. You know, but let me come to your house and see it's corn in your cabinet, just like it's corn in the church's cabinet. You know, that's how you used to do the church. And so that is a good point. That's important. So, you know, Malachi 3, any other comments, anything before we move out of Malachi? Okay. So with that same perspective in mind, 1 Corinthians 11, I had got out of it. So with that same perspective in mind, 1 Corinthians 11, now we understand the verse. And you helped us a lot in that, Janice, so I'm glad you asked that question. Be ye followers. So now, whether we're using both words to help your dyslexic or whatever that is you say you got, be ye a copier or a mimic of me. Now, the mimic, as we all understand now, is to have the same attitude along with the action. When we do that, then we get results. Thus, y'all was like, okay, I want you to be an example, walk by faith. That example was meant for everybody now to copy, Janice, or mimic with the same attitude. Okay? It's not a perspective of saying, well, I'm going to do this, but God dog it, I can't do it. And so we all have to have the same mindset in order to get the results that y'all wants out of us. And so that's why he said, okay, be the example. But be the example, walk in it, show a certain attitude about it, and when you do it, results will start taking place, and then we as a church as a whole will copy or mimic with the same attitude. That's how we get things done. That's how we get it done. And so that's why it's vitally important for us to understand these things. Okay, we good with 1 Corinthians 11? Now we'll move to 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll look at we're just going to look at verse 13 for the sake of the time, okay? And that's the reason why it's important for us to mimic. Mimic one another with the same attitude, or to copy one another with the same attitude. Because verse 13 says, every man's work, okay? Yah is looking at us the same way he did Cain and Abel. He's looking at us the same way he did, you know, the priests and the congregation. He's looking at us from the same perspective. So he's saying, okay, I'm going to judge the work now. I'm going to judge the labor. Everybody's working and doing things. He said, I'm going to judge the work. So he said, every man's work, labor, shall be made manifest. Now, when you look at the word manifest, y'all, it's like it's going to be seen. It's going to be shining, but it's going to appear and become known. Okay? I thought you was throwing up people. Sometimes, you say, well, that was a little bit better, you know. Sometimes you go, ah! But every man's work shall be made manifest. It shall appear. It said, for the day shall declare all of us, all of our work there's a day coming of reckoning when it comes to our work. It says, because it shall be revealed by fire. This is a metaphoric term. It is being,
fire is like the trial of life, man.
That's what it is. It's a test. It's the test. So that's correct. That's why I said revealed by fire. When the person said, well, what? Y'all going to burn it up? Yeah, but not with an actual match or fire or something like that, a torch or whatever that burns. It's through the trials of life, the toils and the things that's associated with the work that goes on. Y'all say, okay, I'm going to see if they're mimicking my son, Christ. Remember, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Mimic, copy, with the same attitude that Christ had. Paul said, that's what I'm doing. Now we're all doing the same thing. We're following, mimicking, doing the same thing. And so Yah said, when it all happened, as here, give my baby, Arnold, hold your hand up again. Hold the other one up again. See, we both smiling. We both enjoying this. You know, she's mimicking me, but we're getting the same results because she's happy about it. I'm happy about it. We enjoying it. Now, we're going to get the same result. Now, when y'all look at both of us, he's going to say, you know what? Let me reward them according to the action and the attitude that they've taken from doing what they're doing. So the day of reckoning come, as Elder pointed out, the trials of life, where y'all was like, oh, you did what everybody else did. All of y'all did the same thing. Now let me strike a match, a spiritual match, and throw it in throw it on you and get you caught on fire. Let me see if that work is manifested to be the type that it's supposed to be. Let me see if the trials of life gonna bring out that is not what I put in there, and the reason why I did the things that I did. Let me see if that attitude is different now. Don't y'all love us enough to help us and deal with us? Every man's labor shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Y'all, so I'm gonna show you with a test. And the fire shall try. The word try means test. As the other point out, that's why he said trials of life. He's scripturally correct. When you look at trial, it says to test. Okay? The fire shall test. So it is a figuratively term. See, it says it. Fire says, it says figuratively. Lightning, fire. Y'all say, I'm gonna create situations in a figure to cause you to be tested to see what sort it is. I want to see if the work was a true mimic with the same attitude. Okay?
Like when you try gold.
Yep.
And you put it in the fire. My brother Eric was a furnace operator in Amarillo. With precious metals, and when they get those metals from the earth, they put them in there, and you know, they skim the gold off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, really, really high temperatures, and that gold will stand there.
Well, since you're gonna bring it up, we just gonna go to the scripture and prove your point. 1 Peter 1:7 talks about that exact thing. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried, tested with fire, same thing, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yahushua Mashiach, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. We got to continue this to the end. And so when you look at it, what Mama Coates was talking about, that's what fire does to gold. It gets all the impurities out of it, and when it's all said and done, it's pure gold. So when we're doing work, I call it the workings of life or the trials of life, as Elder pointed out. You know, when you look at life's journey, life journey gonna always be filled with trials and tests, because Yah is constantly getting things out of us that shouldn't be in us, and developing the things that he put in us that he wants to see develop and grow. Uh-huh.
And to me, the beauty of that is that God already knows what's in us.
Mm-hmm.
But when he purifies us, he let us know what's in us.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And so, you know, and so that's what this is about. So again, back to the left screen, 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. Nobody get excused from it. Every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, if the test destroys it, say he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by the test. Y'all said, oh, that test burn up your stuff. I'm going to use that same test to save you. That's what it just said. When y'all deals with us and it exposes, you know, as Mama Coach said, expose the area where, paraphrasing, where we need to improve on, y'all said, I'm going to burn it up, and I'm going to keep burning and testing and burning and testing until I get you delivered.
Understand,
huh? Yeah. That's what salvation means. Look what salvation means. Because people think about salvation, oh, I get to go to heaven. Not necessarily. That's not what he's saying. Yeah, there's a glory trip, but that ain't what he's talking about. So when you look at it, I need to find it.
Sometimes if you don't know it's a problem, until he show you it's a problem.
Exactly. And most of the time, or pretty much all the time, where the scriptures say, that's when he showed. So when you look at saved, the word saved means, in a nutshell, heal, preserve, do well, make whole. Y'all has saved me from a lot of stuff. You know, I'm not just waiting on a trip to heaven, as the church folks say, but I'm getting my salvation here. And I'm allowing Yah to make me whole and to deliver me and to take me through trials and tribulation, and so that my work will stand. So he's always testing me, testing my character, testing my attitude, to make sure that when it's all said and done, I get a reward. In all the areas where I didn't shine bright, he said, oh, I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to sit right there, and I'm going to burn up all this little stuff. And I'm going to keep you right here until you get delivered. Do you hold?
I just have a comment on that. And I've always felt like that's the best process, but I think people do the counterintuitive thing. They do, oh, I'm not strong in this area, so I'm just going to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to run away from that. I'm just not going to deal with it. But it's almost like, y'all say, I'm going to deal with you in this area. Because right. It's almost like, I use this example. And when I talk to young people now, I'm like, if you take, for example, your SAT or your pre-SAT, that's your time, whatever you do, that's your opportunity to realize, hey, I'm weak in this area. Let me study more in this area. And when the tests come around, it can be a strength for me instead of me staying weak in that area. But a lot of times people don't want to do what's uncomfortable for them. So instead of building up in that area, they just avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is, God is saying, if I want you strong in this area or stronger in this area, I'm going to keep testing you right in this area. You can't run from it.
Uh-huh.
You got to get it right.
And so.
Or keep
that. Yep. And so the thing about it is like, what's important for us to understand is we have to learn, and that's what faith is. Remember, we're going back to faith now. Faith is assurance in Yah. Not in our abilities, because as Ella pointed out, we weak. But so we're in order for us to understand how y'all work, he's going to always create situations where we realize our weaknesses. Because in realizing those weaknesses, we now depend on his strength in order to accomplish it. So the area where we're the most weak is the area where y'all is gonna test us. He's not gonna test me when it comes down to understanding the scriptures. That's my strength. That's what I was born to do. So y'all like, I'm never gonna just take him to a script and say, explain what that means and test me in that area. So I'm gonna start licking my fingers and be like, okay, you sure you wanna test me in this area right here? But there are other areas where y'all's like, you can't do that. Well, I'm gonna do that. When he said gonna do it, I said, remember the discussion with the building? Boy, go get them keys. And I'm sitting out on the truck looking back at the building saying, oh Lord, I feel like a baby bulldog, weak. I feel like a baby bulldog with a big bone. Y'all said, I got it. You just follow me. Y'all, I don't feel I can't do this. When I first started preaching, I said, y'all, I hadn't preached long enough. That's why you read it. Because if you would approach this and say, I'm the man, now you wouldn't have no understanding that you have now. But when I called you and you got afraid and you started talking about your inadequacy, I knew then that I could be strong in you. You didn't stick out your chest. There were some people, when I preached my first message, I never forget it. One guy walked up to me. Matter of fact, it was five people except that they called to preach when I preached my first message. Well, one of them came back and told me, he said, oh, you think you did something? He said, wait till my turn. I was looking at him and said, boy, I was scared to death. You talking about wait till your turn? You are not going to do well when your turn come around. Because you already have a higher estimation of yourself than what you should. And so let me give you a secret. Let me reveal to you a secret. You should already know by now. Yah is going to always call on you to do something that you're weak in. Yeah, he have us to do some things where our strengths are. I mean, I'm a preacher. That's my strength. I'm doing it. But y'all will always have something that you're weak in. Because in having something, giving you an assignment that you're weak in, it keeps your faith or your insurance always in him.
In humility.
If your life is so perfect to the point to where it is self-dependency, oh, y'all gonna create something. Because they always wanna put us in a position where he can save us in the end. So he always tests us. Man, I get so many tests, man. You know. I knew the city of Dallas was coming back. I could feel it. I said, oh man, here come another test. Like, y'all, you just keep testing me in these areas here. Yeah, I said, boy, I'm testing your work. Yeah, you stood for the 30 million. Now, COVID-19 and this pandemic, now I have some stuff happening. Let me test you in the money area again and see if you'll walk away from it. Just walk away from about 800,000, y'all. All because y'all was not at the table. So y'all say, I have to keep testing you in those areas because people are always going to try to offer you money based up on the gift that I've given you. And I got to make sure that you're humble enough, I'm going to go point it out, humble enough to say, nah, my goal is to please y'all. So I kindly told the folks, look here, I decline your offer, and I greatly appreciate, you know, you making the offer, and my prayer is that you give those resources to somebody who's in need, because we don't need you, we need y'all. That's what I said, it was saying in a nutshell. If you think you're going to show up because there's a pandemic, and think you have us at your mercy, you are out of your mind, because we didn't start this with your mercy. And we're going to finish it without your mercy. If you want to participate and be a part of this, you're going to have to submit and come under the same plan that y'all has for us. Or we're not going to deal with you as a city. Y'all was like, okay. I tested him again. I know I got some stuff coming, man. I got some reward coming. Now, you the same way. You got some reward coming. Y'all is constantly testing you. And when you get to the point where it's hard for you to see, then mimic your pastor. Come on, Autumn, do it again. Get your hand up. Put the other one out. See, we both smile. Mimic it with the same attitude. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to do this, but heck, but shoot. Y'all going to be like, okay, Kane. Okay, Kane. See what you get out of this, Kane. Exactly. If you do well, that's a good one. There, when we are mimicking with a different countenance, it's because we're not doing well. So, you know, so I encourage everybody, just let's be followers of Christ. Let's mimic him. Let's copy him with the same attitude that he has toward the kingdom. Okay? And we'll be well-pleasing to our Father, Yah, and also to his beloved Son. And when we do that, anything is possible. And them cows start coming off those hills. I got some cows in my yard. Yep, they come off the hill. You know, he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. They be coming off the hill, you know, giving us resources that's necessary. You know, so. All righty, any other questions, comments? You had anything else to do? We good, y'all? All right, we'll stop there. Father, y'all, we just bless you for your word. We thank you for encouraging us to mimic one another and to copy one another with the same attitude as the kingdom of our God has, and his beloved Son, who has made it all possible that we have access back to him. And Yah, we just glorify you for that, and thank you for giving us the wisdom and the understanding and all the comments that was necessary to make this lesson a great message for all of us to understand. We just bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.